You can take positive our regular experience. I'm more than ever before on this thing about living the truth. So what is it? I thought I was about it, but I wasn't. Now I'm about it. And I realized that I can't live what I don't know, and I can't live what I don't remember. So when I was on the way over here, Spirit said, do the illusions of the ego. And so I'm going to start there, and then we'll see what happens. Because the Course is always talking about the ego. You always speak on my ego this and my ego that. But what is the ego? The losers of the ego, introduction. So the Bible says that you should go with a brother twice as far as he asks. It certainly doesn't suggest that you set him back on his journey. Devotion to a brother can't set you back either. Devotion to a brother can lead only to mutual progress. The result of genuine devotion is inspiration. Inspiration is a word which, properly understood, is the opposite of fatigue. To be fatigued is to be dispirited, but to be inspired is to be in spirit. To be egocentric is to be dispirited, but to be self-centered in the right sense is to be inspired or in spirit. The truly inspired are enlightened, and the truly inspired cannot abide in darkness. You can speak from the spirit or from the ego as you choose. If you speak from spirit, you have chosen to be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. These words are inspired because be still and know that I'm God reflect knowledge. If you speak from your ego, you are disclaiming knowledge instead of affirming knowledge. And if you speak from your ego, you are dispiriting yourself. Do not embark on useless journeys, on page 52. Do not embark on useless journeys, because useless journeys are indeed in vain. The ego may desire useless journeys, but the spirit cannot embark on useless journeys, because the spirit is forever unwilling to depart from its foundation. The journey to the cross, as was spoken of in the Bible, should be the last useless journey. Do not dwell upon the journey to the cross, but dismiss the journey to the cross as accomplished. If you can accept the journey, my journey to the cross as your own, your last useless journey, you're also free to join my resurrection. Until you do, your life is indeed wasted. Your life will merely reenact the separation, the loss of power, the futile attempts at your ego at reparation, and finally the crucifixion of the body or death. Such repetitions of separation, loss of power, futile attempts at the ego at reparation, crucifixion of the body and death, those repetitions are endless until they are voluntarily given up. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The only message of the crucifixion of Jesus was that you can overcome the cross. Until you do, you're free to crucify yourself as often as you like. This is not the gospel I intended to offer you. We have another journey to undertake, and if you read these lessons carefully, they will help you prepare to undertake it. So that was the introduction to the illusions of the ego. The Course is always, it's on page 52. The Course is always teaching us the difference between the ego and the spirit, because the whole purpose of the Course is to teach us how to tell the difference between truth and illusion. How to tell when I'm coming from the truth in me and when I'm coming from what's not true in me. That's the purpose of the Course. So in this first couple of paragraphs, like, so what can I take out into my physical world from what I just read? And you can look through it too. And if there's something that you saw in there, that a sentence or a phrase that particularly inspired you or moved you in any way, I want to invite you to share it with us today. If it's something I read, and when you read that sentence, it affected you in some way, then I want to ask you to say what that sentence is. You don't have to teach it. You don't have to, you got to discuss it. I just want you to say it if you saw something in there. For me, there were several things. If I'm devoted to somebody, then it's going to lead to mutual progress for both of us. Also, if I'm truly devoted to anything or anybody, I will feel inspired. Other thing, if I'm doing something that's not coming from my devotion, and I'm doing something that's not really coming from my true self, he says, then I feel fatigued. And that's what dispirited means. So if you're feeling fatigued all the time, and you're feeling like there's nothing that really inspires you, then there is no devotion. There's nothing that I'm devoted to if I don't feel inspired. It's just that simple. If I'm not inspired right now in my life, there's nothing in my life that I'm really devoted to. And I'm certainly not being devoted to you. That was the first paragraph. So he says, if you are truly inspired, that's what enlightened means, and that if you're truly inspired, you are self-centered, but with a large S. So if I'm truly inspired, I'm self-centered. If I'm truly inspired, I'm devoted. If I'm truly inspired, I'm doing something that's coming from my spirit. So when I first read this book, one of the things I didn't like about it was it kept showing me where I was, and I wanted to pretend I was somewhere else. And I found that a lot of my joy came from not being honest with myself. So I would act like my lack of inspiration or my feeling fatigued was somehow related to something outside of me that was disappointing me. If my life just got more interesting, if I could just... So what he's saying here is that you can either speak from your ego, or then he says you can speak from your ego or speak from what, your spirit. And then he says essentially the same thing. If you're speaking from your ego, you are disclaiming knowledge. If you're speaking from your spirit, you are affirming knowledge. So if I'm speaking from my spirit, I am affirming what I just read. I'm affirming what I'm studying. I'm affirming what I'm studying. If I'm speaking from my ego, then I'm disclaiming knowledge. So the Course represents the truth, right? And so if I'm affirming what it's saying, then I am inspiring myself. If I'm going in the opposite direction, then he says, then you are dispiriting yourself. And he says, your ego always wants to take you on journeys that dispirit you. So when you hear the term ego, just say false self or separated self. Okay, so ego isn't a big mystery. It's just that the Course's premise is we do have a real self, but the real self is completely whole and completely perfect and completely free. Okay, it has no fear. So first of all, I had to take a stand and go, okay, alright, either this isn't true or who I think I am, I'm not who I think I am. Either this isn't true or we are not who we think we are. Everybody see that? We either go, this is a bunch of crap, or I must be something I don't think I am, because he said my real self is inspired, my real self is doesn't disclaim the knowledge, my real self is devoted, my real self is being skilled and knowing that it's God. So if that's what my real self is doing and I feel like crap today, then I can safely assume I'm not devoted, I'm dispirited, and I'm not really claiming the truth that I'm studying. I'm really not really focusing on it and using it. I'm not bad, I'm just not listening to God. I'm listening to my ego. And he says you can always tell because your ego gets ready to send you on some other new journey. That's also what feeling separate, feeling the loss of power, trying to repair everything, trying to, your body going through a bunch of stuff, and then you die. Okay, that's pretty much what he says. And it is, and you can repeat that over and over again, endlessly. So we can keep doing the same thing over and over again. I can keep doing the same thing over and over again that dispirits me endlessly. He's talking about you not practicing the truth of being a holy, innocent being. You. It had nothing to do with reincarnation. It's like we're studying the truth, right? And so, I don't know about you, but every truth book I've ever read, from beginning to end, always told me something to do to change the situation I was in. Anybody else have noticed that? Yeah. All right. When you don't do it, that's when you dispirited, fatigued, go through the crucifixion, go through the futility. Everything that people say, complain about, they're going through that because they're not doing anything they're studying. Living by it. See, I used to think reading it was living by it. So I come to a class like this, read, expect everything to change, and when it didn't, I said, this didn't work. But I didn't go, okay, what's the first thing I can be devoted to when I leave here? What about me? What about waking up to who I really am? What about the devotion to my freedom? What about the devotion to my peace and your peace? So, in other words, I got to do something that inspires me, that's based on devotion, that's based on truth. All right. Anybody see anything in there, or have any questions about that section that we went through? Because we want to be aware of why we're going through what we're going through, so that we can do something different. y'all. Talk to me. Talk to each other. Let's do something different besides sit up silently and talk to each other after class.
Like God, devotion to a brother cannot set you back either. It can only lead only to mutual progress. Because everyone is just me, so I'm helping myself out when I help someone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is kind of off of it, but this last week you did that thing about fear and conflict on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed I get fatigued. I started working on my dreams and my aspirations. And I started applying that remedy this week. Because I realized the fatigue is just fear. I'm not physically tired. I'm just afraid to pursue me.
Yes.
See what happens I do art and I write books.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel this flow like I'm connected to God. And it scares me. And then I get fatigued like an hour later. I stop an hour later and go, oh, I'm just fatigued. I worked real hard. I'll take a nap. But what's really going on is I'm just scared.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Every time somebody says something, that's you telling you what's going on with you. Because it's just you. So, anybody else have any thoughts, questions, or something that you heard? And it could also be made you mad, made you afraid. You didn't like it. So when I say share, I'm not talking about you to always feel like it. You know, just what kind of moved you in any kind of way, whatsoever. Yeah.
So, devotion to a brother, that's a different way of being in a special relationship.
Yeah, it definitely would be a different way of being in a special relationship. Most people are devoted to their idol, their goal of specialness. They're in the relationship to get something because they don't feel complete within themselves. That's not devotion, except to your ego. Yeah. So here's the cool part. If I am devoted, he says it only leads to mutual progress. I like that. He says devotion only leads to mutual progress. You both benefit. If you're devoted. I used to associate devotion with sacrifice. If I'm devoted to you, then it means that no matter what, I'm going to be there doing whatever it takes because I'm devoted. But when the Course is talking about devotion, it's always talking about your devotion to love, your devotion to fear, your devotion to truth, your devotion to... Always, always, always try to remember with the Course in Miracles that it's only talking about love and fear, peace and conflict. It's only a book about changing your perception of who you are so that who you are can start to manifest. It is not talking about your exhale bill. It's not talking about the stuff that we think. Because all those things are only there because we are disclaiming knowledge. Because we're not practicing the truth. Because we've lost sense of our relationship with God. All that stuff is just the effect. When you begin to wake up, you know that's the last thing you should be focused on is the effect. The only thing we should be focused on is the cause. And like he was saying here, the cause is not being inspired, being fatigued, disclaiming knowledge, putting yourself through separation and loss and pain over and over and over again because I'm not devoted. I'm not devoted to my peace. I'm not devoted to who I am. I'm not devoted to you. I'm not devoted to the truth. I might be devoted to getting a brand new car. I may be devoted to going to the next Broncos game. I may be devoted to losing 10 pounds. I may be devoted to finding that special relationship person. I may be devoted to taking a vacation in California. But I'm not devoted to my truth of who I am to the same degree. And that's where the fatigue in it comes from. Anybody else hear anything in that section? Yeah.
I heard the word clinging, and I contrasted with devotion.
In what way?
Because clinging is under the fatigue, when you
cling. Yeah.
But when you're devoted, you know, you're inspired,
that's
energized.
Right.
And then I heard you talk about that clinging to the old rugged cross.
Yeah, yeah.
That's up and up because the first thing, I'm not trying to go churchy, forgive me.
first thing Jesus said after he resurrected was, don't cling to me. And when you tell Christians that, they be going off.
Yeah.
That was the first thing he said.
So we're the best cleaners that ever was born. We're the Klingons. Klingon. Right. Anybody before Star Trek know that was their mortal enemy was the Klingons. And that's the truth. It's the truth. Anybody else need to sign this? If you haven't received something from me, then you need to sign this again with the email and everything. If you haven't. All right. Thank you. Yeah.
This is completely different than anything the world's ever taught me. I mean, the world's been teaching all of us that things are completely different than what he's saying in here.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is all the spiritual things that I've studied, and probably many of us, can actually be used in service of the ego.
This
book cannot.
That's why the ego doesn't allow you to read it. Mm-hmm. See, it's one of the few, most true books, pretty much people will read, and they'll say it's pretty easy to read, but 9 out of 10 people you ask about the course will always tell you either they haven't read it or that it's really hard for them to read.
Now, our egos can actually use other spiritual information to its advantage.
And the ego can actually try to do this with the course.
It can try, but
it won't work. Yeah, but you'll go through a period where it looks like it's working sometimes. Okay, what I mean by that is the spiritual ego. Let me show you how the ego will use the course. The ego will use the course to say that you are not being as spiritual as you ought to be, as nice as you ought to be right now. If you really was getting this, you would just be forgiving everybody. If you really were getting this, then you would be all loving like the course says. If you really, you know what I'm saying? The course uses it the ego uses the course to beat you over your head to make you feel like you're not really living up to some ideal self that you should be living up to. Anything that you don't, any truth that you don't use, which means integrated into your being, then that's a truth that your ego will try to use against you. So after a while, when you study a lot and you're not applying the ideas, the very stuff that you're studying will begin to feel like a burden. And you, instead of being excited about this stuff, you start to feel weird because it's just more stuff that looks like you can't do. And you know what I'm saying? So if you don't use a truth, your ego tries to use it against you. So I like to try to integrate it as fast as I can. So the only message of the crucifixion is you can overcome the cross. So again, it's like Jesus is saying here that the only message of the crucifixion was you can overcome being crucified. You can overcome the fear. You can overcome the guilt. You can overcome the lack. You can overcome the separation. That's the only message of the crucifixion. It wasn't to make somebody feel guilty forever because God's Son died for your sins. It was for the express purpose of showing us that we don't die, that we are part of something that's bigger than death, and that no matter what we do to each other, do to ourselves, what we really are lives on. That was the whole purpose of the resurrection, was to show us that love cannot be destroyed. Truth cannot be destroyed. The ego took the truth and then used it as a way to make people feel guilty, separate, and afraid. And so rather than worry about that, the place we're at now in our spiritual path is, will we choose the new way of looking at it? There's nothing to do with getting anybody else to change their perception of God or the Bible. And like the Course in Miracles, like people may not like it, but the Course in Miracles does claim to be channeled by Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care what my relationship is with Jesus, or how I feel about the word Jesus, or what religious background I come from, it still don't change the fact that it claims to be written by Jesus. But I used to, and it was funny, I would be so scared to talk about any of the religious, spiritual Jesus elements of the course for so long because I hadn't reconciled those things within myself. And I've reconciled those things within myself, so I find myself now wanting to talk about the whole thing completely, regardless of how anybody feels about it. Because I want to meet more people who want to change their perception of their spiritual identity. And also change their perception of Jesus. Or any great spiritual teacher or leader. I want to be around, like I feel like I'm around now, I want to be around people who want to mix God, put God in the mix. And so if saying God makes those who don't want to put a higher power in the mix run away from the class, it's actually to our advantage. Because then we can really talk about a higher power being at work and really get a lot of inspiration and devotion and move faster. You can't move fast with people who think they have to do it on their own. But you can move real fast with people who believe that you join to get what you want. Because if you join, it's always easier. It's a lot easier for me to lift the table if you hold on the other side. There's nothing about joining that slows you down except if you join in the ego. Because if you join in the ego, you're only concerned about what each person can get individually. And you're not at all concerned about what you can accomplish together. That's the only thing. That's why relationships are so hard. They're just two people wanting what they want together. If the two people wanted the same thing, their relationship would speed them fast and it would be a relationship everybody would be marveling at. All that fighting is going on because they don't want the same thing. You see a bunch of people fighting all the time, but in a relationship that doesn't inspire them, they don't want the same thing. That's all. They're not bad. They just don't want the same thing. That's it. And I've had many relationships where I was with people that didn't want the same thing. And that's what we did. Now I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. So let's go to right teaching, right learning then. Unless somebody else says something they want to share. Okay.
Well, I had to wait a few minutes before I could say this because I felt like I was going to cry. Because when you were talking about our devotion and all the things that we are actually devoted to, even though I think I'm devoted to peace, I think I'm devoted to having more peace and joy and love in my life because I meditate every day, I read the Course, I do the lessons, I mean, I do all the things. I try to practice it as often as I can. But God, it's so easy just to sit back into my devotion in the moment to closing the sale, to getting the deal, to planning the trip, right?
Yeah.
It's like this constant having to be vigilant for it, right?
And right.
I really am saying that's my devotion to peace. It's like, wow.
And that's the third.
Easy to slip. All those things you said, I thought, man, I got some of that going. I'm planning that.
I never hear about it, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
But it made me feel sad just a moment of realizing, maybe I'm not as devoted as I think I am, and that's just a constant.
Okay, thank you for saying that, because what you're saying is a beautiful example of what I was talking about earlier.
The ego.
Right.
What,
there you go.
Being on track.
Thank you.
Because I heard that.
Thank you.
And I thought, okay,
let's thank you.
Forgive yourself. That you're
thank you. See, everything's happy. Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm just saying everything. Let's see everything got happy. Even
it's like,
thank you. That's why I love talking, because it's inevitably if we talk, we always get a real-time example of something I just said. I've never not seen it happen in the class. So you're feeling sad about not being as devoted to truth as you think you should be, because sometimes you're devoted to the other stuff, is the ego using the Course. That's what I meant when I said the ego will use the Course. See, it took everything that was said, and then it took it to try to make you see where you was coming up short. Instead of it only meaning, you know what? I just need to choose to focus more attention on the truth. That's it. There's no punishment. There's no denigration. There's no negative. Nothing other than just do this then. Just become more devoted to knowledge and truth rather than disclaiming it. That's it. Yeah.
Way to remember
when you're self-mastery. Peter, remember that readiness isn't mastery. Mm-hmm.
When you
prove yourself,
the ego is punishment
for
not being as devoted as you are.
You're
just saying to yourself, readiness.
It's not mastery. That helped me a ton when I first read that. Readiness is not mastery. I'm ready to be this way. Doesn't mean I've mastered it. Because you're ready to be this way, it doesn't mean you've mastered it. Okay. All right. Here we go. Next part. Right teaching and right learning. Now think about this in your relationships, especially. A good teacher clarifies his own ideas and strengthens his own ideas by teaching them. See, I'm clarifying my ideas and I'm strengthening my ideas by teaching it. Don't y'all see that? That's all I do. 3 times a week. I just clarify my ideas. I strengthen them by teaching them. He says, now, guess what? You and I are alike in the learning process. That's exactly what you're supposed to look at your partners, your friends, anybody else. You and I are exactly alike in the learning process. That means we're in the same order of learning. And unless we share our lessons, our conviction is lacking. Unless we share our ideas, our conviction is lacking. Like he was saying, why do I go into the other stuff so easily when I go out of here? Because there are more people that share those false ideas of the world than there are people that come together to share the new ideas. That's why I was encouraging communication, because I know when you share an idea, it becomes stronger, and we join more, and the less strangers we are to each other, the faster we move and the more powerful our acceptance is. That's why I'm not surprised that at first when I suggest that, in most cases, there's dead silence. It's not dead silence for any other reason other than we're strangers to each other and we're afraid to communicate. And as soon as the fear leaves, which only takes a minute of silence. It always only takes a little silence to join. Then we started communicating. And as soon as we started communicating, the energy shifted in the room. As soon as the communication started, we started to see more how we were reinforcing the ideas, how some people saw some stuff that didn't somebody else see, and it brought a whole new element into what we're doing. Our ego knows that. That's why our ego makes us afraid to join and to communicate with each other. Because afterwards, we will. Like, after it's over, we'll talk. Right? A lot of times you see it. But we're not talking about this. So the ego will encourage communication as long as it's not about the truth. If it's about the truth, then the ego says, be afraid. I'm separate. So the Course says, a good teacher must believe in the ideas he teaches, and he must meet another condition. A good teacher must believe in the students to whom he offers the ideas. So I have to believe in the Course, and I have to believe in you. You have to believe in your ideas. You have to believe in the person that you're sharing them with. So here's the principles of a good teacher. You want to clarify your ideas and beliefs. How do you do it? You do it by teaching it. And you have to realize that you and the person that you're sharing with are in the exact same order of learning, or else your conviction will be lacking. And you believe in what you're saying, and then you believe in the person that you're saying it to. You believe in what you're saying. You believe in the person that you're saying it to. Now, that's interesting, too. Believe in the person that you're saying it to is not the same thing as saying believe what the person believes that you're saying it to. I'm not saying you got to, see, the ego thinks that to mean you got to believe what the person believes. When I say believe in the person you're saying it to, the ego kind of thinks that, well, you have to believe that the person that you're saying it to going to want to hear it necessarily, or looks at it that way. He says, no, you believe in the person that you're sharing it with, and you believe in what you're saying. Now, then here are your friends and relatives and yourself. He says, many stand guard over their ideas because they want to protect their thought systems as they are. And learning means change. See, that's a great, learning means change. Learning means change. So when you say I want to learn, you're saying I want to change. I am willing to change. I want to learn how to love you. I'm willing to change in how I love you. I'm willing to have peace in you. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change. He says, now, change is always fearful to the separated, because the separated cannot conceive of change as a move towards healing the separation. The separated always perceive change as a move towards further separation, because the separation from God and love was our first experience of change. I want to stop there just a second. That's so powerful. Why is change fearful to us? Because it's hard for us to think of change in terms of things getting better. So when someone says change, he says that we tend to feel like it's going to take us into further separation. And so that was because our first experience of change was the separation from God. If you move from a state that's more loving to one that's more fearful, and that was your first experience of the concept of change, and if someone says, let's change again, you're not going to want to change. That's why people stay in situations that suck. Because they can't conceive that the next relationship would be with somebody that would be better, or the next job would be better, or the next situation would be better. We would welcome change. We'd be glad to change if we thought it was going to be better. That's what he's saying. But the reason why we don't is because of our past history of what we experienced when we changed. So we're afraid of it. Then he goes on to say, this profound confusion, he says, blah, blah, blah. He says, you believe that if you allow no change to enter into your ego or your worldly way of thinking, you will find peace. You believe if you allow no change to enter into your idea of yourself, your ego, you will find peace. This profound confusion is possible only if you maintain that the same thought system can stand on two foundations. In other words, nothing can reach spirit from the ego, and nothing can reach ego from spirit. The ego, your spirit, can neither strengthen your ego nor reduce the conflict within your ego. The ego is a contradiction. Your ego self and God self are in opposition. Your ego self and your God self are opposed in source and direction and in outcome. Your ego self and your God self are fundamentally irreconcilable, because your spirit cannot perceive and your ego can't know. So your spirit and your ego are therefore not in communication and can never be in communication. Nevertheless, your ego can learn, even though its maker can be misguided. Your ego cannot have or make the totally lifeless out of the life given. So it's never an issue of you worrying about your ego. It's really about you learning, not your ego. Your ego can learn, but you are the one who made up your ego. So if I'm the one that's making up my image of myself, then I am the one who needs to learn. I am the one who needs to change. I am the one who needs to choose to go in the direction of my true self, my God self, my spiritual self. Earl has an image of Earl. Got that? That image of Earl is Earl's ego. You have an image of yourself. That is your ego. You have an idea of who you think you are. That is your ego. When soon as you tell me who you think you are, you just described your ego. Whenever you tell me who you think you are, especially if you say, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm separate. That's the ego. So the Course is saying, so the reason why it looks like the ego's prayers are never answered is because there is no communication between God and the ego. That's why people who are told in their ego always think their prayers are never answered. Yeah, they're right. Because in a sense, simply because who they believe they are isn't real. So how can something unreal pray to God? You'd be amazed at how fast all your needs are met as soon as you recognize you're innocent and that you're spirit. Because that's what you are. So that part of you can make a real request. Can have every need fulfilled. The you that thinks you're separate, well, it's not real. So we don't have to analyze that. Okay? All right. Anybody see anything about that paragraph that hit them? Those two paragraphs about a good teacher and people saying God. I said, I like that part where he says, everybody, the people saying God on their thought system because they want to keep thinking the way that they already do. And they know that if they listen to you, they have to change. Yes?
In the first paragraph, when it says they are in the same order of learning, and unless they share the lessons, conviction will be lacking. I've taken that to mean that if I'm in this space where I'm thinking this person has a lesson they need to learn, that I'm really experiencing my own need to learn that lesson.
Right. That's exactly right. We're in the same order of learning. What does that mean to be the same? It means that me and you are in the learning process. It means that in order for you to learn, you've got to clarify your ideas and strengths. In other words, to be in the same order just means you go through the same procedure. Even if it's about two different things, you're still going through the same procedure. If there's any idea that I want to learn, then at some point I got to clarify it and strengthen it by sharing it. You know, if a person is into the Ku Klux Klan, well, he's got to share his ideas with other people who feel like he does to form the Ku Klux Klan. You know, but he's got to demonstrate it. The person is into liberty. You know what I mean? That's what the Course is trying to get. When he says same order of learning, I'm going to say it again. It's not talking about same beliefs. It's talking about everybody in this room is going through this process. Everything you want to learn, you're demonstrating. And our conviction is lacking unless we realize that we are alike. See, how can I have conviction in you if I think you're so different from me? Do you understand why we fight change? Why do we fight change? Why do we fight change? I mean, right there in that one paragraph.
It's going to be worse.
Thank you. Why do we think it's going to be worse? What happened the first time we changed?
It got worse.
We separated from God.
Yeah, we replayed that over and over again.
And if you don't, and again, you can always substitute love for God and fear for ego. If you ever read the Course and it gets too religiously for you, and you can't, you tune out, just remember it's talking about love and fear. And you go, and you get through all the difficulty with studying the Course. What about the idea that there is no communication between your ego and God? Or there is no communication between fear and love? Try it sometime. Try being really, really loving. Being really, really loving. And watch what happens with someone who's really, really fearful. And see how much communication happens.
That's like when you're sitting at a table the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I started this conversation, and these two guys start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And my other friends there was no way we could communicate with them. It's like we didn't even exist. Their egos are just going at it.
Well,
we were making hand signs, and you know what I mean?
The Course says the reason why people have a tendency to want to differ with you faster than they want to agree with you is that it's through being different that we establish our separation and our individuality. So it's almost like an instinctive reflex for me to create my sense of individuality to don't agree with you. Because if I agree with you, then it's almost like I'm disappearing into the experience. But when I can tell you how I'm different from you, then I just establish my separate reality. So just check it out sometime. Notice how people tend to have I always want to give you another way to look at what you just said, rather than just go, okay. They're usually, even if they mean well, they're still come up that somehow or another, they've got to interject their way of looking at it in the conversation. Even if they're agreeing, they're going to do it another way. When once I saw that, I realized that it was easier for me to manifest an idea that I didn't talk about.
Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, it's like if I believe that I create my own reality and everything that happens to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked, it's a lot easier for me to believe that rather than say that to people who would try to spend the rest of the hour telling me how things happen to people that they didn't have anything to do with. If the Course says that we're all innocent and that we have never sinned, it would be easier for me to tell myself I'm innocent and I've never sinned than to say that to people who would think I was crazy or sociopath by saying that I never have guilt and I'm innocent no matter what, because they would try to tell me that that wasn't true. So if it's an idea I want to believe, I share it with people who want to believe it too. If it's an idea I want to believe, I don't share it with people who I don't think want to believe it. See, you can just see how much more peacefully your life will get. And not only that, you'll start to see the manifestation of the belief fast in your physical reality. The biggest problem with spiritual students is that they talk too much. They talk too much, especially in the beginning. They try to explain stuff that they don't themselves understand nor accept yet. And they'll walk right out and start trying to tell the people at work and their friends and their things about what they're saying, and their friends tear them, rip them to pieces. Matter of fact, they sound crazy to themselves. Have you ever thought something in here, but then when you went to tell somebody else about it, you thought maybe you was a little crazy yourself or even saying it, you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden you switch, okay, that's cool.
Well, let's just take that farther.
Okay.
You're saying, okay, you know, it's complete love, mm-hmm. And I'm innocent, mm-hmm. And this person over here is now reflecting the effect of your projection,
mm-hmm.
Not.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go? What's your next step?
Well, the easiest thing that I do that's kind of like reduced everything to utter simplicity for me is if I do see the projection that I'm putting out there, is to see it as their ego and my ego and a call for love and a call for God. And that way I take whatever I'm seeing and I use that thing to attract love to me. See, my goal is to use everything to attract love and peace to me. Well, how can I do that? Just like Jesus said, use my judgment. Go, this is either love or call for help or call for healing. I want another way to look at this. Let me stop a minute. Let me ask for another way to look at it. Admit that I don't like the way I feel, and I want another way to look at it. Because I think it's really important to say, at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel. That's the process, he says. First you tell yourself what you want, then you tell yourself if you don't make any decisions by yourself, you will receive it. Then he says, and the next thing you do is notice that you're not getting what you want, and then you tell yourself, I'm not getting what I want because I must be making decisions by myself. Then you go, at least I can decide I don't like this crap, so I want another way to look at it. Perhaps there is another way to look at it. What can I lose by asking? And if you go through that process, I guarantee you, you're in another state of mind than you were when you started. Even if it's just a slight shift. Because that's all spirit needs is a slight shift. And that pause gives you that slight shift. And what is a slight shift? Maybe, just maybe, in that pause, you will choose to be quiet. See, people think it's deeper than that. What's going to happen? Meaning I'm going to get all the information about how to help? No. In that moment of silence is where you're going to do the most to decrease the conflict. Because the conflict is coming from you talking. That's really where it's coming from. Especially with another person. Yeah.
In that gap, then you can allow spirits to come in and change it because you don't know it. I don't know it.
Thank you.
I think I know it. The gap will allow a higher solution.
Exactly. Now, notice that most of the stuff that everybody said, if not all the stuff that everybody said, I've agreed with. You notice that? Because it's the truth. That's why I agree with it, as I see it. Okay. What's cool about it is it proves to me every single class and everybody I talk to that we all know it. We all know the truth. We all know the truth. Everybody sitting up here has heard enough of this to know the basics. All of us do. All of us do. And so it's the constant reminding that we're doing of each other and the sharing the ideas so that our conviction will happen. That's going to produce the what? The change that we used to be afraid of, but now we want the change that will take us into a more peaceful place. Which would be if you were in a world where everybody basically was taking responsibility for their experience like you're trying to do right now. You can't lose with that attitude. You just can't lose if people are taking responsibility for their happiness or their experience. The ego is the part that's busy looking at the effect. But what about the effect over here? And how does that have to do with Iraq? And what does it have to do with high gas prices? And what does it have to do with the fact that my mate is an alcoholic? And da da da. All of those things are perceptions that you're having because you're disclaiming knowledge and not practicing the truth and don't realize who you are yet. But you're not guilty and you're not to blame. Spirit need not be taught, but the ego must be. So what am I doing? I am making an image of myself that is now going to be a representation of the truth in me. That's what Earl is doing. It's like, okay, Earl made an ego, which is his old concept of himself. It was always going through a million freaking changes about one thing or another. Anybody know that one? Okay. Now, that wasn't Earl. But Earl does, there is an Earl. There is a personal self. You do have a personal self in the physical body right here now, and you wanted to have one, and you do have one, but that ain't your ego. All right? Now you want that personal self in the physical body to be a true representation of your true nature and your true spiritual self. That's all it's saying. Earl used to have a false representation of himself. It was the one that was angry, guilty, manipulating, scripting, blaming, looking outside itself for happiness. That Earl. And man, sometimes he could really get some really cool outfits to wear. It was absolutely, it's a mate, could see some good movies, and, you know. Now there's a new Earl who's there to do all those things. He's just not about projecting, attacking, blaming, killing, hurting. Putting people through a whole bunch of crap, expecting everybody to live up to his expectations, and not trying to manipulate everything around him to make him happy. That's more of a representation of my true self, the one we're reading about, the Christ self, the real self. That self lived in this physical world will create another physical world for Earl and everybody else in it. There are some people that's going to want the old way. They just want it with less Christ. And then there are some beings that want a whole new world that's based on complete love. So you have to kind of make up your mind whether you want these people that just want to repair the world that you think you're in, or you really want to have another one. Either way, you're innocent. Sometimes people learn a lot of truth, get right to the point that they can make that big change and decide to turn it back and go the other way one more time. Okay, we just do it. You know, after all the studying, all the reading, all the workshops, everything, all the information, still go back and go, you know what? I think I'm going to do it in this old world one more time. I think I'm going to try to change somebody. I'm going to try to fix somebody. I'm going to try to heal somebody. I'm going to try to, you know. But I'm going to be nicer about it now because I know more truth. So I'm going to be helpful to everybody. And that's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you want to do that, that's cool. But that's not the same as being in a whole new life. You have to get clear about that.
But it seems it's easier.
What's easier?
It seems easier just to go back. I mean,
exactly. It's like you said, we can endlessly repeat the crucifixion. You know what I'm saying? It's like you said, it's like it does look like it would be easier to go back. But think about it. Is it truly easier to go back into a reality full of people that are unconscious who blame you for everything that they're going through? Or would it be easier to go into a reality where people were assuming responsibility for their experience, not believing in guilt, fear, projection, and blame? It would actually be easier to be in that world, but to move in that direction, the hardest part is the beginning. And that's why the Course says the hardest part is the beginning. Because in the beginning, you don't see, in the beginning, it looks like you're being asked to believe something that you believe isn't true. In the beginning, it seems like you're saying, ignore the fact that there's pain in the world and suffering in the world, and you just pretend that it's not really there. The ego says it's like it's asking you to, yeah, I know that you think somebody really did something to you, but I'm asking you now to pretend like the person really didn't do it to you. See, that's what makes it hard in the beginning, is in the beginning, it looks like your physical reality is opposite to what you're telling yourself. Agree? in the very beginning of anything. If you think you want a relationship, in the beginning, it looks like you don't have one. So it seems like that's hard. If you think you're broke, in the beginning, if you want to talk to abundance, or dundas, a dundas. A dumbass. That's good, isn't it? A dumbass. Okay.
That makes sense
because
it's already done. Your abundance is already done.
Yeah. It's a dumbass. It's an a dumbass. That's right. We have to put a dumbass. That's what I said. That's what communication does. Communication always brings out another aspect of God that we wouldn't ordinarily hear. And it's in all of us. We're all equally brilliant. And we're all teachers of God. I only teach teachers. That's why my classes are not ever huge. I only teach teachers. They may not take an official role like I do, but I'm still teachers. Now you're being taught how to do it in such a way that won't produce a lot of strain. That's all. The only difference is we're being taught a new way to do it. Unless your ego needs a lot of accolades, then it might be a little be tougher. Okay. Now, he says, spirit need not be taught, but ego must be. Learning is ultimately perceived as frightening because learning leads to the relinquishment, not the destruction of the ego. To the light of spirit. So your ego being relinquished to the light of spirit is to change the ego must fear, because the ego doesn't share my charity. And we see my charity as Jesus, or you can say my higher self of love. My lesson was like yours because I learned it, I can teach it. I love this. I will never attack your ego. I will never attack your ego. I will never attack your ego. Love will never attack your ego. God will never attack your ego. Spirit will never attack your ego. God will never attack who you think you are. Love would never attack who you think you are. That's why even if I'm in the presence of a family member who believes something of a totally different belief system than me, I don't attack them because love never attacks. So he says, I will never attack your ego, but I'm trying to teach you how your ego's thought system arose. I'm not attacking your ego. I'm just trying to teach you how it came about. When I remind you of your true creation, your ego cannot but respond with fear. When I remind you of your true creation, your ego cannot but respond with fear. When I remind you of the truth, your ego is going to become afraid. That's what it just told us. When you hear the truth, there's a part of you that becomes afraid when it hears the truth, becomes uncomfortable. He says, so when that happens, go, oh, I was told. When I hear the truth, there's a part of me that might be uneasy about it. So when I feel that uneasiness, I won't freak out about it. It's just the uneasiness of your ego recognizing you recognize the truth. Because what he said, your ego is what? Afraid, that part of you that you've made up to be separate, is afraid that you're going to relinquish it. Which is true. Right. The part of you that you used to hurt yourself with, when you recognize the truth, you're going to stop. The part of you that likes to hurt you, that you think it is you, then it's afraid of this, because when it hears this, it's not going to be used anymore. The ego will become like something in your house that you used to use that you got in your closet. It's like you didn't destroy that old vacuum cleaner. You just put it away. That's what you're going to do with your ego. He's going to put it away. You just won't use your insane thoughts like you used to. You just put them away. Every night in your dust to fill up mouth off and go insane for a day or two. You know, we all have them hours where we dust it off. Let me go ahead to the ego closet and see. Oh, that's two bad relationships. I think I'll pull it out today. Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to use my crazy ideas about money today. I think I'm going to go out here and charge stuff I know I can't pay for. Okay? But if you really get in there, you won't beat yourself up about it. You just realize that's just your ego that you used to use, and you picked it up again, and you're going to have to put it back down one more time. That's all. No punishment there. Not going to take you to jail. You use an old vacuum cleaner. We're taking you in. You know, say, don't worry. It doesn't work like that. You know, we're the ones who come up with the concept of punishment. We're the ones who come up with, I'm going to punish me. Yeah, it's not your neighbors coming up with that. It's not your brothers. It's not God. It's me that's coming up with Earl needs to be punished. It is me. It tripped me out when I really got that. It's like, oh, it's me who hates me. I thought it was somebody else. It's me. Okay, and what's the after message? Don't do that again. What? It's got to be more than that. Nope. Don't do that again.
Does that all come from a script?
What come from the script?
See, my mom just went blank.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a monster.
And it means you were Zen master, too.
Yeah.
You went to that really quick.
No, that punishment thing, that's... See, I noticed my ego is like a little screenwriter in there.
That's right.
It writes scripts.
There you go.
Like, I need to punish myself because I'm doing good.
That's right.
That's a script.
Well, you know you don't deserve it.
Well, I do, man. Yeah.
See, that's why when things go really, really good, the part of you thinks you really, really, really don't deserve it gets really upset. You know, you don't, look, you know, if they really knew the truth about you, they wouldn't be speaking to you.
Well, there it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wow. You know.
I had this dream 2 nights before I graduated my doctorate, really young professor. And I had the dream that I get up there, there's the president of the university, and he goes, "Oh, we found out about you, Chuck."
I know you did. Well, there's a lesson in the workbook that starts out saying, if you think if people really knew the truth about you, they would recoil from you as if I'm a poisonous snake.
Yeah.
And I went, whoa, that's pretty strong there, but that's the truth. It's like sometimes I'll be talking to people and I'll say something like, oh yeah, man, sometimes I really get upset about something, my ego really be ragging me out, and they'll inevitably go, what? You mean, God, that made me feel better to know that you know, that you go through some of this same stuff too. I said, yeah, that's why I'm teaching it. That's the proof that I got all these qualities. I'm teaching it. Why do you think I'm teaching it? If I already had transcended any of it, I'd just be out. I'd be somewhere else. I'd be doing something else, you know. You know, it's like, except now this is my joy, so I don't even look at it that way. It's kind of funny. It's like, this is my joy. My joy is allowing the truth to come through me. So I do it anyway. But the point that I'm saying is that when people feel like they can relate to you and they feel like you're like them, then they feel like what you're saying is easier for them to be able to deal with. And now I'm saying what most ministers in the church have said, I used to do drugs and I ran around with women and I used to do that. Because if you don't, the person won't be able to think you can relate to what they're going through. That's the exact same thing Jesus did. Jesus came down, so to speak. And one thing I love about reading the Bible, when I read the Bible, was that it was, when I would read the Bible, I would always see it differently from the people I was listening to. It was always weird. It was some stuff in there I knew flat wasn't true, for me anyway. Because you should read anything like that. Your inner self will sort out what's for you and what's not for you. But the thing that I kept noticing, he kept saying from the time he came, that he came and he was going to be crucified. And he knew all about it, and that was what his purpose was, and thought basically he was going to witness to the resurrection. So he knew the script. He already knew what was going to happen, so why was anybody feeling guilty about somebody going through something that they already knew they was going to go through, and they didn't really go through it because they survived it. So you got people feeling guilty about the Son of God being killed, according to that particular story, but he wasn't. Even in the story, so it doesn't really make any sense to me. It's like let me get this straight. Now I'm back. You're looking at me in the face, and I'm back. But you're feeling guilty about me being dead, but I'm here. You see what I'm saying? It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah.
Okay. We've been learning. He says we are very sane beings who learned insane lessons, but we're not insane. We just learn crazy stuff. Okay. And I learned it. How do I know I learned it? Because I'm in a world where it looks like it's one of the prevailing belief systems. If this is true and everything I see is my own subconscious mind, then I got a heck of a belief in sin and guilt and punishment and Jesus and Christ and religion and separation and all the stuff I'm looking at. It's got to be in my mind if everything in this world is a representation of my thoughts. But I used to separate it. I pick and choose. I like going to a store. Oh, I like that thought. That was Earl's.
Yeah.
That one's Earl's. That's theirs. That one's Earl's. No. You know, that's what we do. No, it's all my subconscious thoughts. All of it. Everything in the world is a pictorial representation of some thought that's in my mind. The whole thing. All of it. Oh, feels so good to admit that. Oh, the best thing those spirits of path that I've ever done is when I stop trying to be nice, charitable, and good. Because that created the whole thing of punishment, sin, and guilt. You can't have one without the other. You can't be good without believing you're bad. So then you try to be good, you witness to the fact you think you're bad. You're not, you have to try to be good, you are good. That's what you are. You are love.
Thank you.
So teaching says, what do you think about that line, when I remind you of your true creation, your ego can't but respond with fear?
What it reminded me of was this morning I went for a walk,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing a mantra while I was walking. I was enjoying how beautiful it was, and it was, you know, I was feeling good, right? I'm feeling good. And then a thought slipped in there, mm-hmm. about something that I needed to handle, about some crappy thing that happened, and my ego just took hold of it, and I caught it. And I said, you know, 1 minute I'm feeling good and happy and peaceful, and my ego just moved right in to just invalidate that, and I just laughed at it, right? And that was. It was good, because that's what it was. It's my ego just responded with fear. Oh, can we do that, you know?
Right, and that's so good to hear you say that. Remember, don't treat your ego like it's this thing that you got to do battle with. Don't treat your ego, that's my ego, it's my ego. Oh, my ego again.
But now I have
there it goes again.
Of pulling it out of the closet.
Yeah.
I like that picture.
Yeah.
I like that picture because I do good with the analogy of it. Oh, yeah, I just pulled that out of the closet for a
minute. Now, the next thing you should do is put it on Ego Bay.
That's right.
Just auction it off. Anybody else want it? I got use for this ego. I'm used it. I'm through with it, you know. So I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you for sharing with me today. Now, I'm going to continue through the illusion of the ego for a while until I'm not inspired. And I'm inspired to do something else. But right now I'm inspired. If Spirit told me on the way over here that something about us going through this together was going to have a completely transforming effect on the group. So, on the group, on whoever comes. And I feel that. I feel like today it happened. That we got a different kind of a take, a little bit different kind of a take on the ego and what it's about. I know I did. I don't know if everybody else did, but I did. So I thank you. It was helpful for me. And tomorrow is head of the course every day. Even if it's, I always tell people, nibble it. And nibbling it is a subtitle a day. Because most subtitles are less than 3 pages. Do a subtitle, do your workbook lesson, and watch your day be completely different after a while. In the beginning, you're going to try to convince yourself that it don't do no good. That comes up a lot. I'm going to say that again. In the beginning, you're going to try to convince yourself that it doesn't do any good, which might take the form of, I'm doing my workbook lessons and I'm studying and it looks like things are getting worse. That's the first trick that the ego generally does whenever a person approaches the truth sincerely, is it tries to convince them that they're doing this and it's not doing any good. And it's not making any difference. If a person knows that, then it can't stop you. Because you go, oh, this is just my defense against the truth. This is just me trying to trick myself into, because what you're studying is different from a book in manifesting things in the world. The ego will never fight you with manifesting stuff. So when you do a lot of teachings that have to do with empowering your personal self, your ego will love it. Your ego will love it. That's why. Have you ever wondered why all the stuff that you may study, sometimes the Course in Miracles may be the thing that creates the most resistance? But it would seem like it's easier to read other books and it doesn't create the resistance. That's what kind of attracted me to it. I was like, going, why is it that I can read all these other New Thought books, and I can just read them and it just no problem? But then I get to this one. And then all kinds of unconsciousness is happening, and I don't know what I'm reading. You know, even though I think I'm a reasonably intelligent person, all of a sudden I'm confused. And I'm just, that was my hint that maybe this is actually saying something different from what I've heard before. But I was also strangely drawn to it, where even though I had a lot of resistance, I never could stop. Then the people who get the resistance and they stop. completely. Then there are people who get the resistance and they take a vacation, which means they may not pick it up for a while. And then there are people that once they get in it, they may feel the resistance, but it's like they're hooked. They can't put it down anyway. And that was me. I finished the whole text in a month. I could not put it down, even though I was going through the same stuff every day. So, you know what I'm saying? I'd be wide awake and getting, you know, read a good teacher. You know, it was amazing how this book would do that. But then I would still, I come out and I write the drool out the way and get back on. You know what I'm saying? And I noticed the strangest things started to happen in my life. And it's happening to this day. The thing that started to happen when I went past the drool was that it looked like, and it still does, it looks like something is taking care of me. That's the best way I can put it. It looks like things are taking care of themselves most of the time, instead of me having to be the one to figure out every freaking thing. Like even with the other books, it still was about Earl visualizing exactly what it was that was the best. And if Earl had a negative thought for 1 second, then his whole world was going to go to hell. So he had to try to be positive every second, even if he was scared to death. Man. So I was making myself crazy with trying to take control of my physical reality from the level of my personal ego. And I still had to try to figure out how to make things happen. But then this surrender, this joining with Jesus or the Christ or the higher self or the higher power or love or whatever you want to call it, I was no longer alone. I was no longer having to do things by myself. I was becoming supported. And that's why I'm into it, you all. It's because I'm lazy. I want my life to be easy and harmonious and fun. I don't want to learn forever. I have no desire to be a learner forever. Like people say, well, you know, you just get to learn. It's all about learning. The heck with learning. After a certain point of time, I learned how to drive. I want to drive. You know, I don't want to spend the rest of my life learning how to drive a car. So where we are right now is that point where people get to, when they get their car, let's say a guy is going to be a dentist. And then he goes through all the training. Guess what? At some point, he's got to open his practice. And at some point, he's got to actually do his first root canal. Now, hopefully, I'm not the one. But you know, that's where you are. Have you all had those friends who took 15 years to finish college? Mm-hmm. You know, they were like professional students. Mm-hmm. They had become a way of life for them. That's the way a lot of truth seekers are. Now, they're just seekers. But now it's too late for us. It's time for you to practice now. You got your degree, and now it's time for you to be creative with it. And sometimes your ego is going to come up and out of the closet. You're going to dust it off. You're going to bump into it, but it's no longer you. It's not about fighting your ego anymore. You've already learned the difference between your ego and God. You know the difference. You know if it's coming from your real self, you're feeling inspired and you're feeling some peace and some love and some connection. And you know if it's coming from your ego, you feel fatigued, upset, dissatisfied, and not devoted. You know that. You know the difference now. So it's still going to come up from time to time, but it no longer is who you are. So that's a whole different perspective than y'all going out here now to get your ego straightened out. It's straightened out. Now it's just about remembering that and remembering the new way to look at things. And to use that on a regular basis. It ain't about the ego anymore. That's why we're going through the losers of the ego. So that we won't be food bound anymore. That's the whole purpose of going through this chapter. Thank you. That's it. And I'm going to guide you through it, but I'm not your leader. I'm not in charge of the journey. The guide isn't in charge. And I watched Tarzan as a kid. Bala, there's a Scotland up there. But he wasn't the one that was leading the search party. He wasn't the leader. He was the guide. Think about that for a second. You're in charge, but it doesn't mean you don't have to listen to your guide.
Did you have a guide when you first started out?
I've never had a person, per se. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's funny, I didn't study the